The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. It is Friday, and we are headed toward another weekend. In fact, the last weekend of the month already. 28 days in February. The Olympics are about to wind up, and then watch what happens. The war drums will begin to be pounded again louder. We've got trouble, though, in Trumpville. McMaster, the McMaster of War, and General Kelly are said to be at their wit's end with the Donald, and they are either going to quit or get fired, depending on which source you look at. So more major upsets in the Trump White House. I don't know where it's going to go, but Trump continues to sound as if he is going to attack North Korea. He says if these next sanctions, which he just announced today, which are far more severe, are not successful, the world will be very unhappy, very, very unhappy with the results or with what will come next. So it's not looking good. It kind of reminds me of high school, but it's deadly. So we got big problems in North Korea. We got bigger problems in Ukraine in some ways. Porky passed the new law in Ukraine, which allows him to use the military to invade the East and recaptured Luhansk, Donetsk, and Donbass, the entire area of free Ukraine. Now, that'll bring in Russia immediately if there is an invasion, and there are about 125,000 troops from Porky's Kiev fascists lined up on the demarcation line just outside of 10 miles, 5 miles from Donetsk. If they invade, they're going to be opposed by about 30,000-35,000 people and the entire Russian military. Putin, if he is a man of his word, and he is, has said he will not stand for an invasion and a slaughter of the Russian-speaking peoples in East Ukraine. So he could be pulled in there. He already is pulled in Syria. We continue. President Trump and his advisors continue to provoke, push, prod the bear. It is really stupid and getting dumber. Remember, Russia and China share borders with North Korea, jumping back over there for a minute. Don't forget that. Neither wants a flood of refugees. But beyond that, I personally don't see either Russia or China allowing North Korea to be nuked into oblivion. I just don't see it. It doesn't make sense. All right. Dean Henderson is back with us this Friday, his monthly visit, first hour. Hello, Dean. How are you?
Good, Jeff. Nice update of the events there.
Well, it is what it is, you know. What have you been concentrating on? There's so many things. There's so many flashpoints. It's just crazy.
I guess I've been looking a little more at Syria just because it's getting so freaking hot there. I mean,
yeah,
the whole time the school shooting in Florida was going on, what wasn't being reported was that the U.S. had just bombed a convoy, a Syrian army convoy, and there were many Russians killed.
Right.
Soldiers. And
they tried to cover that up, but the truth of the matter is apparently dozens, maybe even more, Russian nationals were killed by Americans, and the Americans knew damn well what was going on down there. We know. We've got intel. We've got superb intelligence. Right. If we don't have it, we just ask the Israelis. They'll tell us.
Yeah. So. Same day in Yemen, U.S. drone strike. You know, that's a first. And then the Russians are really angry right now. I mean, I've never seen Lavrov as angry as he is right now. And it's this double cross they're trying to pull in Syria with this YPG Kurdish forces. And so now Turkey's in there and trying to figure out what's going on, because Turkey and Syria, you know, they don't like each other because of the Kurds mainly, and have been put against each other, of course, over the years. And Syria sends troops, and Turkey just kind of, you know, they go back, but there's no hostilities, and Turkey keeps downplaying. And it's almost like, I feel like Syria and Turkey have signed an agreement. I don't know, whatever signed, but, you know, the Russians are in, the Iranians are in, and they're all saying, look, just go ahead and mop these assholes up. And these are just North CIA mercenaries after ISIS failed.
That's exactly what they are.
And that's all it is. And so there's oil in that region, northwest Syria. That's where all the oil in Syria is. And so they're trying to lop that off still. So, and at the same time, you got this Eastern Ghouta thing going on where they're trying to provoke and say it's going to be this, you know, genocidal thing. And RT had a tip from somebody that they saw these white helmets bringing in chlorine gas canisters and storing them, and working with the Al Nusra Front, which is basically ISIS.
That's us and ISIS and our money, your money, folks.
So they're putting them, and then, you know, these guys are hiding in hospitals, stuff like that, and they're just hiding their human shield situation. And they're the ones, of course, that should be prosecuted for genocide, along with their owners, you know, Credit Suisse and on up. And so that's really getting hot over there.
You make so many good points. Syria may be more volatile now than ever.
I think it is. That's the thing. And, you know, I really do, because this is kind of, you know, it's almost game over. And, you know, the Israelis, I mean, you got the cops in Israel wanting to arrest Bibi, you know, and throw him in jail. So then you got that factor. It's kind of a wag the dog thing going on with Israel. Of course, you got the drama with Trump, like you always have. You know, now it's McMaster and Kelly, as you say. And but the whole thing is just keep the pressure on Trump, the Zionists, the neocons just have to keep turning the screws and coming up with stuff. And then he just lashes out at people, and he's perfect. But I think my take on it is the Syria situation is very serious, because it, also at this Munich conference that they had, both Saudi Arabia and Israeli.
In Munich?
In Munich, yeah. Uh-huh. Bibi was there, and the king was there, the prince was there, whatever. And they both were just making these really hawkish statements towards Iran. Bibi held up a piece of this airplane and stuff.
Because acting like an
Syria
idiot.
Shot down that F-16 of the Israelis, which was pretty awesome. And after that, you know, he's just been threatening. And so it's getting really tense over there. They accused Iran of having a military base in Syria. Iranians denied it. Said, no, the Syrians shot you down. We ain't got nothing there, but just, you know, whatever. And that whole thing is just getting so hot. And basically we're losing. The West and the bankers are losing badly. They already lost Iraq completely. You know, we're out of there. We lost Lebanon completely. Hezbollah is like 80% popular now. We lost, of course, Iran a long time ago. And Iran is the revolutionary example for Yemen. And, you know, for what's going on in Syria.
Right.
So it's hot. It's real hot. And I just, and then you got, like you say, North Korea. Trump's already making threats. Olympics aren't even over yet. You know, geez, I mean, isn't it nice? I mean, I see, we'll be bellicose. And if that doesn't work, we'll be more bellicose. I see.
Yeah, that's his fallback position.
It's his fallback.
It gets crazy. It is crazy. Now, what is your take on China and Russia? Are they going to allow this butchery of North Korea?
No, they're not going to allow it. And just the same way, Russia's not allowing Syria to be dismembered and Assad to be overthrown. But now, I think China definitely has more of a stake for sure in North Korea than it does in Syria, obviously. And it's a bad situation, and it's just a nuclear, North Korea's a nuclear power. You might as well just recognize that, and you just really don't want to start threatening nuclear powers.
No.
I mean, it's kind of, it's an old school thing all the way back to even the Hawks, knew this back, the guys that drew up the whole, mutual assured destruction, right? I mean, you just don't go out and you just don't threaten people that have nuclear weapons.
Kim might get, but look, the word I have, and you may have seen this, but supposedly a CIA asset a year ago kind of let slip that Kim has over 100 nukes. This is a year ago. And just exactly my words. It wouldn't surprise me either.
He's pretty smart.
And let's look at his options, okay? If he is attacked through a false flag, like we sent a torpedo and hit one of our destroyers and claim it was one of his 73 submarines did it, and then we got a right to go in revenge. We're going to get even with him, that son of a bitch.
During the Olympic ceremony, closing ceremony.
That's perfect timing, So, all right, let's say he's got 100 nukes. Let's say he has 50, I don't care. He's got ICBMs, we know that. He's got a problem with reentry, we know that. But the Chinese could send him a reentry vehicle that will allow a nuclear warhead to come through the atmosphere and not burn up. If Kim doesn't have one developed yet, that's a possibility. They could ship him two or three. Plausible deniability, total deniability. We didn't do it. He might get lucky. We lose Seattle.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
No big deal. Yeah.
Because he's going to let everything go if he gets attacked. And I don't blame him.
Yeah. No, he has to. That's just, has no choice. So it's insane. It's like,
here's an
angry lion in a corner, and you go in the corner and with it and poke it with a stick,
Yep.
I mean, it's something sick. Yep. Like you say, it's like, what do you say, eighth grade or junior high or when you start this thing out tonight?
High school.
That's
high school.
It feels like. High school, yeah. Well, if we're lucky, right? So, I mean, daddy daycare cashed up, really. But it's like, wow. But see, this is what, and then this shooting, this is the other thing. Guns, here we go again, gun control. And it's like on one side you got the gun controllers and they're just like being increasingly brainwashed. But because they're chanting gun control, gun sales are skyrocketing. So the arms industry is just so happy.
Right.
And meanwhile, it's like this bait and switch where we talk about gun control, but what they're really doing is they're passing out as many guns as they can in the streets of America and just having us blow each other away and making a lot of money, just like they do in West Africa or just like they do in wherever. And it's just like a third world scene, same thing here. So instead of talking about, guess what? When did the first school shooting happen? Mid-90s. When did the internet begin? Mid-90s. let's see. I mean, the kid is all over Facebook again. They're all over Facebook. The guy in Orlando, hell, he was on Facebook while he was massacring 50 people. And it's just me, look at me, me. So, me too, the me too movement. Oh, great, perfect, another me bullshit thing. Oh, great. I mean, so it's just this intense cultural sickness that nobody wants to go there because it's a Trojan horse, the internet. It's like nobody wants to criticize the internet. Oh, my God, what would we do without? Because we're all junked out on it. And so we'll never go there. So we'll just talk about guns.
It's the culture of celebrity. That's what everyone yearns for.
Culture of celebrity, yeah. And
sick.
It's just sickening to see both sides of this thing just so idiotic. This whole debate about this whole thing is just like, I don't even listen to it. I don't even want to listen to it because they're not getting to the root cause. Yeah, cultural celebrity, just extreme selfishness. Extreme, but it's not selfish. It's like really, it's self-hatred. That's the hell of it. It's like everybody thinks they're being so whatever, cute and everything, and they're miserable and not happy and they're not confident and, they don't believe in themselves. Like, they're telling everybody they do. And so it's kind of like, I don't know, it's creating this dyslexic culture where nothing gets done, first of all. Oh, a train goes off tracks, Amtrak hits a freight train. Why? I don't know, probably the dude was on Facebook. I mean, seriously. And everyone's distracted. Everyone's got ADD. Everyone's just, their brains are being partitioned.
Our culture, our society.
Most of them because
we,
of it.
No, no.
You too, I know. And it's freaking scary.
It is scary. And the people we look in life, you usually have a lot of friends, just a normal social reach out. But the people, and I don't have a lot of friends out there. It's kind of, I can go out and see.
I had a few good ones, but.
But seriously, the people out there, and I'm not talking about you people, generally speaking, what Dean just said is so correct. They're dyslexic, they're dysfunctional, they're ADD, they don't understand the geopolitics of what's happening, they don't understand we're being invaded, they don't understand we're being subjugated, completely destroyed, shredded by the Federal Reserve, they don't understand that it's all a lie, every damn bit of the government is a lie, it doesn't represent the will of the people at all, we are in the hands of evil beyond measure.
That's outside of themselves.
Can't see
what
it.
You just said. That's all stuff that's outside of themselves. It's
right.
Not about just them. And that's what's so freaking scary. I mean, if it's not about them, you know, of course, everything's about everybody. I mean, the reality, the true reality of it.
Yes.
And they, you know, it's, in other words, in their interest to know these things because it does affect them. But it's not, you know what I mean? It's just, yeah,
I do know what you mean.
Culture and just put me in front of the camera. And
yeah, I've got my own YouTube, whatever, I'm on Facebook, I've got my own,
Snapchat,
it's all, it's whatever. Micro,
I don't know what that is, but
it's micro celebrity time, micro
crazy.
Celebrity, everybody, even if you have,
a micro celebrity.
That's right.
And if they're not, they go shoot up a school or something, you know, or just go nuts. Because it just didn't pan out for them. Yeah, it's really tragic. And I just, you know, until we deal with this issue, this internet issue, this internet addiction issue.
Who's gonna deal with
screen,
it?
Screen time addiction. I mean, think about when, who's going to deal with it? Think about when the video games, the violent video, that was the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and think about who was president, 88, 92, George Bush Sr., that's who deregulated the pharmaceutical industry so they could tell us all our kids were ADD and give them Ritalin. And then they could give us all these new vaccinations and multiply by 100 times the vaccinations kids are getting. Yeah, and then the Bush who passes the bankruptcy law that makes it harder to pay your student loans back. And then, I mean,
impossible.
That GMOs deregulated, start that whole thing up.
The Clintons deregulated the media, right? The FCC.
Yeah,
so we got six corporations.
They did the banking and the media part, yeah. And so, but it's just like George Bush Sr., if you think about what he did, if you look back at what he did, he was basically initiating a genocide program against the United States of America.
And I'm not, are you get no argument out of
and
me.
He should be a Nuremberg trial for that stuff. Yeah, and Clinton, too, for continuing it, sure, with the banking, with the insurance, with the financial people, you know. It just even, you know, it's just so, and it just continues on today with Trump and Obama and it's just more and more deregulate, let the big guys own everything. And, it's a nice sounding theory.
Well, if Melania files for divorce and leaves him, Stormy Daniels will move into the White House, and everything will be just fine.
Oh, they'll be lined up, I'm sure. You know, every floozy in Las Vegas, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Every money chasing, you know what. But
Yeah,
I don't want to say that. Though.
It's bad. It's bad. Let me, if I can, Dean, you understand military geopolitics as well as anybody. And if you were Kim... You're Western educated. Yeah, he wasn't an A student. All right, so what? He was told when he was a young boy he was going to be the next big guy. He knew that. They gave him his little general's uniform when he was 8 years old, I think. So if you have your life, he's apparently afraid all the time that they're going to try and kill him, which he should be, because they will. He understands the enemy. Now, if they're attacked... They're going to let go with everything they have. He's got, now this is an interesting dynamic, and I've mentioned this before, and it's, I'm sure other people have. He's got 73 submarines. Some of them are crappy. Some of them are pretty good. So what do you do with those subs? You put, let's say he has 100 nukes. You put a nuke on these subs, on 10, 20 of them, 30 of them, whatever. And they're constantly out, coming and going for it. They go out for 3 weeks, they come back for a week, they go out. They're constantly in circulation. We can't necessarily guarantee we're going to take them all out. So you got one or two of them. Maybe they get across the ocean somehow. All they got to do is slide into near San Francisco, slide into L.A., and that crew would have no problem pushing that button.
No,
revenge.
That'd be their mission. None. I'm sure if they did it. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's just a bad idea. And, you had this moment in the Olympics where North Korea, South Korea unified teams and all that good stuff. And, of course, the U.S. just hated that because, you know, the military-industrial complex, I mean, just hated that because...
Moon. I'm sure they pressured Moon. Moon has said now that United States and South Korea have never been closer. And blah, blah, blah.
He's
not allowed to do what he wanted. He wanted to go up and talk. He didn't want this crap.
He didn't want it, and he was kind of more open to that coming in because before was
he was. He's a liberal.
He's more liberal. Each country, people don't even realize, but like North Korea and South Korea, they each have a unification minister in the government.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the unification minister.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people don't realize how both people really, really, really want to unify. I mean, it's just like 90% of the people want to unify. And they're just, basically being held back because it's just big money. Let's face it. It's just big money. And all them bases, all them exercises, all that artillery being fired, all the every gas being burned. And then you go to Japan, there's seven more bases and same thing over there and all justified because of North Korea basically anymore. And
More bases.
House of cards. We don't need any of it. If you just shut the hell up, leave the guy alone, sign a peace deal, say, hey, let's have talks. I mean, that'd be the smart thing to do. Oh, guess what? We woke up today and we decided we'd like to talk to the North Koreans. Guess what? They'd talk in a heartbeat. And guess what? We'll let you unify and get our bases out of there. I mean,
all they want is security. They all remember talks from the age of three.
Like
they want security. They They want their own space.
They were bases.
We butchered them in the 1952, 53. We killed 20%. You got it. 20% of the people in North Korea we butchered. We killed them all. They remember that. Come on.
Yeah.
They got a right to defend themselves.
Yeah, man. And, it's just encirclement. It's just like, it's like the other side of it where, Putin is being encircled by NATO on the, the western flank over there. So it's just we're the aggressor. We're the belligerent. We're the bellicose party. Come on, man. Palestinians know that now. It's like, come on, man. Quit trying to hide behind this democracy shtick that you're doing over there, America. You're just an empire. You're just a neocolonial imperial power that goes around the
world. Don't forget Zionists.
Being aggressive. And people are getting tired of it. They really are. They really are. I think, all my traveling I've done, it's amazing how the people would never just take it out on you. It's just your government. And I don't know.
None of us want this, Dean. None of us. Nobody with a brain wants
my
this.
My God.
We don't want it. Leave them alone. And what did Trump tell us during the campaign, right? He told us what we wanted to hear. We got to bring our troops home. We got to take care of our infrastructure. We got to stop engaging in international geopolitical military debacles overseas.
Lie.
I'd be hard pressed to tell you who was worse, Trump or Obama. Now, in terms of lying,
it's hard to say. They're just chronic.
They're different, but they're both liars.
Liars, all of them. Clinton, Bush. I mean, but you have to be, I think, to be in that position.
They're not going to let anybody in there who's not.
Who's not unstable? Exactly. Who's not easily? Because unstable means, guess what? Easily manipulated.
Yeah, indeed.
And so, unstable people welcome. There's a big sign at the White House. And the corporations and banks push these people in there.
Yeah.
And they want puppets. They want weak people. They don't want strong people.
Well, they got them. They got them. Hold on, Dean. I got to pause here for a minute and thank our sponsors, the people who make this program possible. And we'll come right back. This high school shooting, another sacrifice of humanity, a blood sacrifice. It turns out now four Broward County sheriffs were outside the school when the shooting was going on, and they hunkered down behind their car and pointed their 40 caliber Glocks up at the building. That was all they did. They did nothing. And the local police, Crystal City or something, I forget, enraged at them. They did nothing. Trump called the one guy a coward. They did nothing. There's more to this than meets the eye, a lot more. We're going to talk about that later on tonight in the program. But look, police officers take an oath, right? You got shooting going on in a school. You hear the gunfire. You sit out behind your car and hide.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. Doesn't work.
The FBI dropped the ball in the first place on it also.
Oh, how many complaints did they get and tips?
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, it's just ridiculous. And then, then you hear some people saying, oh, I don't know, right away, it's like, oh, was he bullied? You know, it's like, doesn't matter, dude. He killed 17 people. Locked this guy up for a long time. I mean, imagine life to do it. But, let's coddle the kids. Let's coddle these. Oh, they're bullies. They've been bullied, the poor things. Well, I mean, bullying's bad, but it doesn't mean you go out and kill 17 people, man.
There's more to this.
It's a cultural, moral problem.
Yeah, yeah.
That you got there.
The kid was screwed up, clearly.
Jesus, and there's a lot of them, and it's just...
Oh, yeah. Hundreds of thousands of them are a mess. They're on meds. They're on chemicals. These students ought to not be marching against the Second Amendment. If they were organized too quickly, by the way. They should be marching against Big Pharma.
Yeah.
Why are we being medicated? Yeah. Why are half the kids in my high school taking SSRIs?
Yeah.
What the hell? That's what they should be angry about. It's backwards.
Exactly. Get to the root cause instead of pissing around with this other stuff.
Because they're being used.
Society, and it's being made sick, and it's, we gotta get down to the nitty-gritty of what's going on here. But, yeah, again, nobody wants to do that because that's some sacred cows, you know. And like the internet, like the pharmaceutical companies, and like the GMO foods, and all the big things. It's just all the big things that are making people sick. And then also, I think these kids, look at people nowadays and their phones and stuff, and so they're just not getting probably attention at home from their parents who are on the internet or watching TV the kid's in his room on his internet, I guess.
They don't know what their kids are doing. They have no idea what their kids are doing.
Way to live, man.
Yeah.
It's no way to live.
It's not
what
not
a
much.
Miserable way to live. And they just keep pushing it and pushing it, this whole tech thing. Buy stuff with your eyes and your face now and all this stuff. And yeah, it's getting scary. I saw something on microchipping mentally ill people now. It's coming out. And of course, we already get these microchipped employees in Wisconsin. And it's just getting down to the end game. But it is sad to see these students just kind of lockstep into the New World Order game plan.
They're being used. They had those. They had those
they
posters.
Don't know they're 15 years old, but
they had those posters made up in advance.
Oh man, they did. It's like you say, it was so organized, and so so they come out and do that, and what's that do? That just a huge increase in gun sales, I'm sure, last week again.
Sure, absolutely.
Trump is
going to ban bump stocks. That's what he's going to do. All right. Well, look.
I don't think that's a good. I mean, it's a good idea at least.
They don't work well. They're dumb. They're stupid. It's a dumb thing to have. It's a dumb toy.
It's stupid. But anyway, yeah. And I don't have a problem. Like I always tell people on my gun control thing, because I have a complicated maybe stance on it. I don't know. It's not really complicated. It's simple, but it's just people don't tend to think this the way I do on it. And the way I think on it is like. Look, I have no problem with banning weapons, but we got to start with the most serious weapons, like nuclear weapons would be first, see? And then F-16s and bombers and so on down the line.
How about the $2 trillion?
Tell me what I get to have, okay, at that point.
Well,
fine.
They just pissed
my weapon. I don't care, but I just want to, you can't ban my stuff and not your stuff, see, that's the thing.
Well, I'm sorry you're wrong, Dean. So then that's not how it works. It's been $2 trillion on the F-35 Turkey, right? Worst airplane, awful.
Lockheed Martin, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's who's behind the NRA, my friend. I mean, that's the real story. They're just a salesman for the defense contractors, ultimately, and on down. And then again, if you want to get to the root cause, how about we talk about the example our government sets for these kids every time we go and invade a country or topple a democracy or intervene in an election? Russians intervene in election. Ha, that's funny. I mean, what kind of example is that? Okay, what it's telling our kids is basically might is right, right?
Might is right. That's exactly what it's saying.
You just go shoot people when you want them.
That's
what are they doing? Oh, I see. So how about we talk about that a little bit? No, can't talk about that. That's a real sacred cow, Jeff. And so it's all these things that need to be addressed that aren't being addressed. And so, yeah.
Pharmaceutical.
They're trying to wipe out the Second Amendment and also increase gun sales. Both things, see? And it's just bizarre. It's just chaos right now.
I still think the big pharma angle is the biggest.
Big pharma is bad. They're horrible. I mean,
include GMOs with that, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same, really. It's the same companies, yeah, and everything tied together. And Rockefeller's own, according to Nexus Magazine, about 50% of the entire pharmaceutical industry.
Is that much?
Yeah, it's what Nexus reported a few years ago, so it's maybe worse now.
Mm-hmm.
But there, of course, these eugenics people, obsessed with population control. Club of Rome, they founded on the Bellagio estate of the Rockefellers in Italy. That's where they had their first meeting, Club of Rome. And they're obsessed with population control. And like Prince Albert, you know, the lizard that's married to Queen Elizabeth or whatever, he's supposed to be one of the top, you know, Satanists or whatever's. And I don't know, he said something
Prince
about
Philip.
Coming back. Yeah, Prince Philip, yeah. Coming back as a, what did he say, come back? He wanted to come back.
He wanted to come back as a virus.
Yeah, as a virus. Yeah, and see, that's the way they think, though. I mean, so, you know, the whole thing with the, you know, they're depopulating us with these vaccinations.
They're absolutely depopulating. It's a slow burn, and they're making money on the slow death. Wherever you go, doctors make money. The whole medical pharmaceutical cartel makes money on people dying.
And they have to be exposed, and people have to take it seriously that they're trying to kill us. That they're really trying to kill us. I mean, people have to take that seriously. And
that's the bottom
hard,
line. That's the absolute bottom line.
It's sad. It's
killing for profit.
That way, but that's the way it is, people. So accept it. And then you know that you have an enemy at that point. And then maybe you'll fight a little harder against these bastards.
Maybe.
Because we all need to.
Maybe. Here's another one for you. Now, you got to, when you start thinking about these operations, first of all, nobody in that school saw Nicholas Cruz. Nobody saw him. The surveillance cam saw a figure in black, and the people that did see this guy said he was walking like a cop. He didn't walk like a student. Big guy. Wearing full body armor, black mask. You couldn't see his face. Okay? And then at the end of the shooting, that was all put apparently in a semi-neat pile right in the middle of the floor in the hall, and we're supposed to believe the kid walked out with the students. Well, that one blonde student, the girl who was with him, when they were walking out, said she was hearing gunshots at the same time. So, whoops. Now, here's another whoops. One of Comey's buddies, and Gary Holland sent me this, an FBI agent, ex-FBI agent, moved to that school's district and put his kid in that school 4 months ago, just 4 months ago, and that kid is the one, I think his name is Hogg, David Hogg or Hogg.
Okay.
He's the one leading the anti-gun. Yes.
Oh, that's an easy one there. That's
an easy one.
There.
You got it. That's an easy one.
That's pretty spot on there. So interesting. Yeah, real interesting.
What
a
coincidence,
huh? This guy. I mean, it always is, right? It's just like there's always these things going on. And
the kid was a zombie. The kid's brain was scrubbed and reconfigured and medicated into oblivion years ago. He does what he's programmed to do. He's look at his eyes.
MK Ultra. You know,
absolutely.
Domestic MK Ultra. It's not hard. They've been doing it for a while, so since the 60s, right? So.
They got it down.
Oh, they got it down. And you look at this stuff in Vegas, and it's just always the same kind of stuff, you know. They dropped the three name thing, but. Yeah, but it's just terrorism. I mean, at that time it was just this huge distraction from the fact that we just killed a bunch of Russian and Syrian army soldiers. I think that was a big component of it, because had that gotten on the U.S. press, I don't know, and just the world.
How much
press,
is
that
how much
been
you,
really volatile?
Oh yeah. How much do you think Putin is going to take before he?
I tell you what, I've never seen them more pissed than right now. They just seem, the Russians really seem.
Yeah, they got their election coming up in a few weeks.
And they just, every time they try, oh yeah, and he'll win that, 85% they're saying probably, you know. And he's wildly
legitimately.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's wildly popular. And he should be. He's done a lot for the people. I was even watching the Olympics and the Russian hockey team. Fine, man, back to the finals, you know. Because I watch the Olympics. It's kind of cool stuff you don't see.
Right.
And amateurs, at least, not, you know, not a lot of money. But although there's, of course, the Bilderbergers are all anyway, not that. But yeah, anyway, they, you know, they made it back. It was the first time since '98. And I got to think, well, '98. Oh yeah, that's the year Soros and Goldman Sachs went in and looted the Russian treasury and, you know, collapsed the ruble. And so the funding probably went down for their Olympic teams because of it, because they hit hard times. Yeltsin, of course, was their boy and helped them do it. And now they're back. And why are they back? Why are they doing better at the Olympics? Well, probably because Putin, probably because, you know, it's the national pride and the strength, and they're coming back. And, you know, but it's they saw it. I mean, they saw it firsthand what happened to their country at the hands of these bankers. And they'll never forget it. And
Soros is one of the most evil men on the planet. He really is.
Yep. He's Rothschild's probably key lieutenant. He's like has his own foreign policy. You know, people say.
That's a very good statement. He does. Yeah.
And he gets his way a lot on it. And so there you go. But you know, he runs this Quantum NV fund, and that's the big enchilada. And within that, he manages it for this thing called Club of the Isles, and it's this like Queen Elizabeth and all the Mountbatten family, and you know, all the Dutch royalty, you know, and the Rothschilds, and I mean the big money. And yeah, I mean he manages it, so there you go. I mean, he's, it really is the Rothschilds' number one lieutenant. And people need to remember that when they talk about him, you know, to make that connection. Because the Rothschilds are running our foreign policy is what that means. If anyone missed that.
Yeah, you got it. Here's another one. You know, Kim has military parades, one of the few things North Koreans can really look at and take great pride in. And it's for, in their own way, that's what they do. So Trump wants a parade, right? Kim has a parade. We're going to have a parade. Mine's going to be bigger. And he said, they're going to be tanks rolling. And Kim, I hate to tell you, but Kim had ICBMs rolling in the parade. All right.
Yeah,
and what appeared parade, to be a complete, a copy, a clone of the Russian deadly Iskander missile all of a sudden popped up. Nobody had seen that before.
Oops. So, well, why do you think the Israeli F-16 was shot down? Because the Russians sent in those S-400 anti-aircraft battalions about a week before.
I hope
that
they shoot down a lot of them.
Oh, they will. But they won't go anymore. I mean, that's the interesting thing is Israel, see, even in Yemen, you know, now that the Southern Alliance is formed and they're kind of getting together with the Houthis, the Ansar movement, and uniting, that was another thing that happened all during that shooting that didn't get reported. The Yemeni snipers, rebel snipers, killed 14 Saudis and I think 16 UAE soldiers.
Wow.
That were right on their border or coming in or, you know, something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so they're actually making gains. The rebels are actually making a lot of gains in Yemen right now. And so now the Israeli-Saudi dogs are barking. And the reason they're barking, these dogs that we keep, are we're losing. The bankers, the Anglo-American Empire is losing in the Middle East, in Afrin, in Syria.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, I called it, you know, Assad's Syrian checkmate was my article this week. And I think it's just about done. And then you're going to see some crazy stuff.
Excuse me, but I shouldn't say that. Trump and his globalists and his neocons cannot win in Syria. Not going to happen. The Syrian military, I guess there were forces loyal to Assad, now moved into Afrin to support the Kurds, right? So they're in there. That's what they said.
I'm not so sure, see, because this is the U.S.-backed Kurds, YPG Kurds, and Turkey's attacking them, and Syria said that, on the mainstream media, it was reported that, oh, there's an agreement between the YPG and the Syrian army that they're going to come and rescue them.
Uh-huh.
But both the Kurds and the Turks have denied that. In other words, the Syrians, I think, were rolling into northwest Syria to basically allow or, you know, facilitate the Turks, go ahead and mop these guys up, or kind of have this secret agreement, pretend there's a little bit of tension between us to appease the West, but go ahead and mop these guys up.
There you go.
That's my take on it. I could be wrong.
No, it's a good take.
I just don't understand why Assad would come to the aid of U.S.-backed rebels, you know?
I can't see it.
But that's how the media reported it. Isn't that weird? And it's like, and then they got out there, and they kind of hung around, and then they kind of retreated a little bit. And the Turks, every time they were asked about it, they just downplayed it. They're like, oh, it's whatever, you know, big deal. We don't really have any disagreement here. I think they're helping the Turks to round these guys up, is what I'm saying.
Huh.
And that could be game over. You know, that could be game over, because Ghouta, that's getting taken care of, and God. But it's just every time you think it's over, you know, another weeble pops up.
Well, there's
much money.
I don't,
and
there's
assets, and they,
yeah.
So I don't know. It's never over, it seems like, with these guys. But that, but you know, you're right. They can't win in Syria. They can't win in Ukraine.
Can't win in Afghanistan.
Can't win in Afghanistan. Already lost in Iraq and left. We're asked to leave. What do we got? You know, North Korea. Okay, so that's probably why Trump's blowing this horn about North Korea, because it's like, ooh, maybe we can actually, you know, win this one. And what does win mean? I don't know. 2 million people dead in Seoul.
Right.
What win means? I don't know. Probably to Trump. Yeah, I guess maybe. Oof. But, I mean, it's bad. The foreign policy is a total failure. And I don't know. From a purely moral point of view, that's all good. You know, we screwed up.
We've been screwing up.
We're paying for it.
For a long time.
Long time. Long time.
And since JFK.
You could argue even since.
Oh, we can go back to World War One.
Right, or 47 maybe, when CIA was formed, or Monroe Doctrine in the 1800s, I guess, if you want. But yeah, it's been a while. And just
how about the 60 million indigenous peoples we took care of here?
Yeah, there you go. Let's take it back a little further. Yeah, we got a history, you know, and that's a whole other can of worms that we don't have time for, I'm sure. But geez, it's not, you know, at some point there's a reckoning, and I don't know, it just feels like it might be coming. And we don't have any chance of dealing with this fascist regime really on our own, so it's probably going to come down to some kind of international thing that'll just take them down a notch, and hopefully just not too many people die, and it can just be peaceful, and, you know, I don't know, but somebody's got to call these dogs off.
I'm afraid that some... too many big potentials here. Something's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Something's going to happen. It's just, how's it going to turn out? Who's going to, you know, is it going to be, is it going to be Wall Street?
You know, I actually think some of these lunatics over here think they can actually win a nuclear war. I really think they think they can.
I'm sure. You know, I'm sure. Yeah, I think that became kind of popular. Who was it? Reagan? Who was it that started talking about this winnable nuclear war stuff? I don't remember, but yeah, it's definitely in the neocon circles. That's kind of their line, I think. Even they're crazy, but look at their track record. You know, everything they do just turns to shite, and they're wrong about all these things we just talked about. Every single war, every single invasion, every single occupation, they're wrong about every single one.
You're right,
and they're wrong about that too. You can't win it. I mean, you just can't win a nuclear war, because a lot of people are going to die. A lot of people, a lot of land is just going to be toast.
Well, we've been exposed to the essential effects of a low grade nuclear war with Fukushima, which is only getting worse. The nuclear fallout is now thoroughly ingrained into the environment and the ecology of North America. The insects are dying. That means the birds are dying. That's what they eat. You got broken links in the food chain. There are only about 70 or 80 orca left. That's it. And they're way under body weight. They're not acting normal. Whales are continually dying with 4 and 5 and 8% of their body fat. They call it blubber, but they're not eating. So, you know, all the indicators are there. And they announced today, well, that Japanese built a big new roof over a nuclear, I forget what, nuclear number, reactor 2, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're getting dosed all the time, Dean, and if you live within 60 miles radius of any nuclear power plant, you're getting dosed every day, all the time. All the time. They all leak. They all throw off stuff. Every day. Every damn one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they don't know what to do with it. So now they're talking about boreholes in western South Dakota or whatever. Just boreholes.
What the hell's that?
Down in there. Just bore a hole way down in there and just fill it with nuclear waste.
Well, how smart.
Wow.
How really
yeah,
smart.
I mean, that's just it. They don't, I don't know. So that's why, anyway, that's why, you know, that's why somebody has to crush them. Because they're just ruined our planet. They've devastated us. They're devastating our planet. They're devastating entire, just a huge extinction going on right now. It's somebody's got to crush these bankers. And I don't care how it happens or who does it or, you know, but somebody's got to crush them. And this nonsense has to end. And that's, you know, and if it doesn't, you know, yeah, it's just going to get worse. And they'll terraform it for the aliens, I suppose. And the people that are left, they'll just plug into their Facebook all day and do what the aliens tell them to do and feel good about, you know, that they're a mini celebrity for the day.
Micro,
that's it. Sorry, my bad. Micro celebrity, that's way better. Yeah, that's it. In the case, really small. So, yep, so nano, maybe like a nano.
Nano, so that's even better.
Really tiny little people.
That's good. But, nano celebrities, I like that.
Let's do that nano celebrity term.
That's good, all right. I remember
but,
that.
But,
you got it. Dean, real quick, when you're on Press TV and so forth, what do they want to hear? They want to hear the truth, of course, but...
I did one tonight about 3 hours ago about just moving of the embassy to Tel Aviv, the U.S. embassy.
It's going in May. It's going to East Jerusalem.
14th, yeah, to Jerusalem. I mean, yeah, right from Tel Aviv, and and that's, you know, I don't know if people know, but May 14th is the day of that. Basically, the Israeli occupation began. They came storming in there. So it's a day of terror for the Palestinians because they were attacked by the Stern and Haganah gangs and attacked by the British.
I'm afraid, I hate to say it, but the Palestinians are on borrowed time. They're not going to be in Gaza much longer.
Yeah,
all the signs are there.
They don't even get some help from outside.
Who's going to help them? That lunatic Lieberman said the next war...
Nobody from... They won't even take the help of the U.S. They know better now. But it's going to have to be the Russians or somebody, man. But I just hope
I don't think Putin will get in there. I don't think so.
Unless some crazy stuff happens, you know. And,
Lieberman said the next war in Gaza will be the last war in Gaza. You get the picture. These people are gonna be. They're gonna go diaspora. They're gonna die. They're gonna be spread all over the place. Legitimate refugees, not these.
Which they already
contrived ones.
Yes.
But, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's terrible.
All right.
That's terrible.
All right, Dean. You take care of yourself. Talk to you next month. Thanks for all
me
the great
too.
Work
all
you
right,
do.
Amigo. Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me, Jeff. Take care.
Always be well.
Okay, bye bye.
Dean Henderson. All right. Back in a minute.